Welcome back, everybody. It's 2024.
Welcome back. Cheers, everybody.
That's right.
Cheers. Cheers.
It's been a minute, but we're still here, believe it or not.
For all of you that have been listening for the past year, I just want to say thank you all for your support. I know we have a lot of very loyal viewers out there, and it really is your patronage and your enthusiasm for our project that keeps us going. So thank you once again.
We didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Welcome to the Ripe of Wisdom podcast. This is season two, and I'm here with my co-hosts,
Nix
and Jesse. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Today, we're starting off this episode with a 2017 vintage of Schramsberg Extra Brut.
And so we're all here today, here to talk about a recap of season one. A little stuff that we really enjoyed throughout those episodes. And we're going to talk about our favorite wines through those episodes and our favorite experiences and just a little bit of catch up on your favorite co-host. It's been a while, the last month or two, so getting to record, it hasn't been as easy as we thought it would be, but
yeah,
there's been a lot of good things coming our way. And
back like we never left.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of moves, a lot of new things came up.
Exactly. You know, me and Jose here, we're now living
congratulations
in West County,
Guerneville.
Guerneville, River City. Lots of water, lots of trees, lots of redwoods, and it's freaking awesome.
On the way here, I saw entire vineyards flooded.
Oh, yeah. The yes. Corbel vineyard is like
God. Always flooding.
I was like, wow.
Especially as soon as the rain comes, you're just like, oh, huh.
But also, the Corbel vineyard is like right next to the river. Yeah. The river is like right behind it.
You just imagine how much like irrigation they get for free, but also like the amount of pest pressure in terms of like maybe nematodes or something like that. Like,
but also like how fertile the ground must be. Like just, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not to irrigate so much.
Nutrients coming in and out just with that water and stuff. Things being moved around. I'm curious what it'd be like to manage that vineyard.
I'll definitely say you can't get out there and work on it until it all dries up. So
yeah.
Get
some muddy boots.
Or else you get a stuck tractor in the mud or stuck ATV.
Yeah.
Or you lose a boot, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But no, fellas, it's been a great year. It's been a hell of a year. You know, this past year taught me a lot about growing more patience for like the opportunities that present itself and just kind of accepting these problems and moving forward with them.
From what I understand,
living with the outcome.
You were presented some opportunities in the last few months, right? Working
last
on
couple
a vineyard.
Months. Yeah, yeah. Well, for those that don't know, Paz and I, a former guest on this podcast, him and I made a rosé this year.
Right on.
And then through the help of a bunch of friends like Mackenzie, she loaned us two barrels. You know, the juice was donated anonymously. You know, we adjusted, we inoculated, and then we transported it to our house from a completed fermentation. Racked it once, added bentonite, racked it twice. And right now it's at a good stage. Added sulfur. It's about like 20 parts. But
Nice. Yeah,
it's drinking really well right now, I got to say. We're excited. We want to bottle it. So through this bottling phase, we've encountered some small headaches.
Oh, yeah.
Mainly how to buy your glass. Mm-hmm. You need a business license or business ID.
Sure. So you need to like set up a business then. Like
exactly.
So you have to go through all of that? Or
we're trying to piggyback off somebody who just bought a little too much and is looking to get rid of it at a discounted price, knowing that the person isn't going to legally sell it and it's more for a hobby.
Yeah.
You know, friends and family type of.
So I might have missed it, but to legally sell it, like glass, you got to have a business license.
Everything has to be tracked from grapes to nutrients added.
Yeah.
You know, products used in the wine, sulfur. Everything has to be tracked. Product number, lot number, glass, corks included, argon gas, you know, all the whole shebang.
So. A lot of startup headache, right?
Labels. So, yeah. But right now we're also like taking compliance classes and we're just trying to get better familiarized with the system because.
Hell yeah.
We've talked to other startup individuals, and they say the hardest part or the most expensive part is compliance.
Right.
You can spend a few thousand on somebody or setting up a system so you can keep track.
Yeah, just so you can sell to actual markets, right?
And exactly.
Yeah.
Restaurants and retail and
yeah,
consumers.
Because otherwise it just kind of gets traded amongst family, friends, and so on. And it's not exactly the easiest way for a larger scale, you know.
So. Or it's like you're a bootlegger.
Yeah, or you're a bootlegger. The best in the business.
Yeah. Yeah, so through that, we've been trying to look for glass, and then someone recommended this organization called Sonoma Home Winemakers. They're a group of retirees kind of who've been in the industry. Some have not. Some are just like to help on their days off.
Sure.
But they also have connections. Some people have grapes. Some people have vineyards. Some people have glass. Some people have services, you know, equipment you can rent and borrow. Mm-hmm. People even have just labor. If you want to organize something, they can help coordinate a couple of people to help you. So
huh. Wow.
It's a great network. And Paz and I have already been welcomed.
Heck yeah.
They like the energy we bring, uh-huh, the youth that we bring.
Sure, sure, yeah.
And they're willing to help us in any way. So,
right on.
I think it's just great to know that there's a network and community out there willing to help and support anybody who's looking to make wine, start up making wine.
How did you get in touch with them? Like,
just emailed on their mailing list, kind of said,
hey, it's kind of a cold email, just like, hey, we're winemakers.
Wanted to become a member, made my first wine, needed help bottling, seeing if I could have any network connections with you guys, maybe filtering. And now we got connections that it's like, I feel confident in not only like acquiring fruit, processing fruit, but also storing and then like also finishing with bottles. So yeah, I feel good going into this year.
Heck yeah.
So through that group, we met like three individuals out of that group that, have given us a piece of their vineyard or vineyards they overlook.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
So in total, we got about 2 acres.
Just that little track to work on and try and make something of it, right?
Yeah. So we got about an acre and a half of Chardonnay grapes. And then we have a little over a quarter acre of 30-year-old Merlot vines and 2 rows of Cab Franc.
Woo.
So.
Wow. Right on, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of.
What a way to start with.
I know, yeah, man. Kind of exciting, and at least I have somebody who's also crazy enough to do it with me, Paz.
Yeah.
Who's also excited to get out there and do some vineyard work and, you know, and understands the weight and the responsibility that comes with it. And we're excited for the year to come. So
awesome.
Stay nice. Tuned, y'all. We're still thinking of a name, but
I mean,
the wine comes first.
I'm still down to help out next weekend. Man, you brother. Guys show me.
No, we'll definitely show you. We need help anytime. Like I said, we'll be out there probably every weekend for the next couple months,
mm-hmm,
weather permitting. So
well, I would be down to go most weekends.
Yeah, even a couple hours would help, dude. Just like, it's very therapeutic out there in the vineyard.
You're oh yeah, like, sure,
whether if you're just clearing wood, clearing the shoots, pruning, mm-hmm, dropping wire, walking amongst the down up and down the rows is kind of cool.
Yeah, when you're dressed with the right boots and the right stuff and you're doing some, like, I don't know, when I was doing the sampling and walking down the vineyards, it can be, it's nice to be not surrounded by an office environment and four walls, you know. So we have some beautiful vineyards here in Sonoma, Napa County. So
walking in the vineyards does beat working in an office. I'm not gonna lie. You get the natural lighting. It's great for your circadian rhythm.
Exactly.
Okay. No, it's funny. Even I tell Paz every time I see like the sun break in the clouds right now, I just try to go stand in the sun. I'm like, dude, you got to appreciate this little bit. You can.
And you get vitamin D too from the sun.
So this is season two. Like, where do we see ourselves going from here? Like next episode even.
We still want to tell other people's stories, highlight their journeys,
mm-hmm,
and help others find clarity on the decision making on the path, you know.
Yeah,
if this is a path for them, if this is a path that maybe they just want to still be a consumer on,
sure, connect them with the networks that we have and vice versa, like,
yeah, definitely get more interviews.
Yeah,
but I think at this level, I think it's really, this year's going to test us. I think we have momentum built, and this year's going to test us on our mobility,
sure,
on our ability to pivot, on our ability to like transition in a different direction if things come up,
sure, like
locations, people's schedule,
mm-hmm,
even time of day,
you know? Yeah.
So I think, I don't know, like I said, I'm excited for a few people I know we can get, but we would probably have to come to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's going to require some arranging of our schedules and time and equipment. And
And like we've done that once
with Luis.
But yeah, it'll be cool to see us go mobile again.
Other than that, I think following up on our post-production work, you know, maybe just having a timeline of it's like, okay, if we record today, we're posting in 2 weeks or three weeks, like, you know, like, and have something lined up already to keep going and keep us engaged and kind of still like attached to it and not kind of like, well, it's a once a month thing.
Sure.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of remember why we're doing this. And I think reflecting back on all our episodes, it's like we had great times with all those people.
Yeah.
And I think they had great times sharing it with their friends and families, even just being a little vulnerable, opening up.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the reason I even like doing this is getting those stories from people, the slices of life moments that I think make it for me. So I'm looking forward to more of those.
Exactly.
So, like, not even what makes you great. It's like the here's something I did that isn't that significant, but in a way, it's pretty significant when you tell it, you know, and you're like, wow. Like, that kind of made you who you are. And since everyone has their own story, it's just we're bringing all those different stories right here. So, heck yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited, too.
Just reflecting on this past year, looking forward to this new year, what was your favorite episode and what do you hope to improve on any of these new guests?
Man, there's a whole lot of good ones. It's hard for me to pick one off the top of my head. I think the one, I mean, there's so many episodes and each one had a different like ring in my head of like the how it felt, like kind of nostalgia. I think one of the ones that just comes to me right away where I thought was like, huh, how cool was having Paz on here. And we talked about how you and Paz are working on some wine together, but having him here on the podcast and playing the guitar that you had just lying around, Jose, right after the podcast. I mean, he is an excellent musician, I mean, insane musician. And just to be hanging around, you know, we're having the post podcast discussion and he's just riffing, doing freestyle. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, if we didn't have this podcast, I wouldn't be here enjoying this little moment of just freestyle music. And I feel like I really got to understand Paz right there in just that moment, because like he almost speaks through his music. It was cool. It's very unique. And it only would have happened with this podcast. So I was very grateful for that. And I think that's good. Memory is always going to stick with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. Jose, you kind of favorite episode or?
Yeah, well, I'm going to sound biased here. But I definitely did like having Mackenzie over here because it was like cool. And my girlfriend and her tell the stories that I've already heard, because I always love that Vietnam story or the Laos story that she had.
Yeah.
I think that story is like one of my favorite stories.
It's a crazy story. I think I also enjoyed seeing another side of you on that episode come out on post-production. Mm-hmm. You stepped up on editing, and I gotta admit, I liked what I listened to. I was a little hesitant. I'm like, okay, how good of a job? Because I know it's hard on the cuts and getting a nice seamless transition.
Yeah, there's a lot to
you
it.
Know, a gap space, so it sounds normal. Mm-hmm. The one I listened to it, I was like, okay, I only had to do like maybe 3 touch-ups. I was like,
yeah,
I hope I set a good example on like, you know, what things should sound like. Yeah. So when you listen to it, you're like, okay, no, hold on. This doesn't sound right.
Yeah. And also, like you said, that was one of the few episodes I did edit too. So I was like, yeah, like I really liked that episode.
Like I said, I know you didn't want to sound biased, but I think you had another personal attachment to that episode where you're like, nah, I worked on it. I made sure it was a quality product because I care about the person that's being showcased on it.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that. It was funny. I was... I didn't realize it until the final cut, but there was one part in that episode I really liked because he said, when describing a wine, and then on the final edit, I guess it had gotten removed.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't notice it until it was being played, and then I was just like, oh, no, it got taken out.
She told me to cut it out, so I was like, okay, that was her only edit.
I enjoyed it because it sounded like good emphasis, but maybe a little too much.
the deleted scenes for us to enjoy.
I gotta say, my favorite episode was definitely by far Luis's, because it tested our ability of being mobile, being in a different environment where you couldn't control necessarily the outside sounds.
Yeah, truly. That one was a wild one.
We had some equipment malfunction.
Logistics wise.
Well, we forgot some equipment.
Yeah.
A power source. And luckily, Luis had some insane adapter that kept us alive.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And you guys got to interview Paola and Santi too.
I know, which is a great perspective too, because you hear so much about the support required. But to hear them firsthand is it's great. And yeah, also
the spontaneity of just having these other guests kind of come in. It was like, all right, yeah, jump on the mic.
I think that's like the only episode we did that. Yeah. It's kind of cool.
So I think it shows kind of like the capacity and like the limits we're capable of.
Sure.
I think if we just fine tune that and kind of work off that episode in terms of what it took, I think we got endless possibilities here in terms of what we can create.
Oh yeah.
What we can put out. Mm-hmm. And then not only just memories we can create with wine being open and shared. I still remember that Cowboy and Bull.
Oh yeah, dude.
Cowboy and Bull. I know Jose left early for that episode.
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's a memory that Jesse and I will share exclusively.
No. he still has a couple bottles left.
I was like,
we get him out.
That was on my sister's birthday. I had to go down the slope.
No, exactly. No, but it was cool that he brought out a special bottle that's very limited and that we got to enjoy. It literally felt like a piece of history. And I feel like that's what's cool about wine is being able to kind of drink history. So, yeah, it was awesome. The whole experience with Luis was definitely one of the most adventurous, just to say, because of the way that we had to literally go out there to the Napa Valley and set up our equipment there. And so, you know, the good chances are we're doing a lot more of that for this season. So,
and another thing about that episode and about Cowboy and Bull, I was there for when he explained the story behind it, which was actually pretty a cool story.
I think, you know, knock on wood and everything, but not to toot my own horn, but I think Paz and I are on that path, right? You know, entering county fairs, entering amateur wine competitions, and just seeing if it's a hit.
Yeah.
Do people like it? Yes or no? I think that's the most important part. Is this good? I know it's good on my palate.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like not everybody has my palate. And
that's true. Yeah.
So how does this, the normal consumer, the average person think of it? So I think that's true test of if it's good or if it's not good.
Exactly. That's going to be fun. That's gonna
I'm
be
excited, man. I'm excited. I'm like I said, I don't know what this year's going to bring, but I'm ready for it. And we're still thinking of a name. So if you guys have a name, let us know. Still in progress.
We'll think of a name.
I guess also another quick hitter is any favorite bottles throughout the year that we shared with all these guests. Was there a special bottle that stood out? I know we just talked about Cowboy and Bull.
I would say, yeah, but that was my first one, just in terms of like I remember it being like, oh, I'm being treated to something that probably no one else gets to try. So
honestly, I really liked the I think it was because I wanted to try it so badly was the Vin Santo had.
Yeah, yeah. That one was great.
That one I got lost in the sauce.
We had that with Savannah.
Yeah, the Vin Santo was awesome. And that podcast was great too. I love the energy that Savannah put out. It's just, she's always a hoot. Like, there's those kinds of personalities that we need in the wine industry, you know, ready to have fun and talk wine. And it's just awesome.
Just a rinse.
Oh, just a rinse. Okay.
All right, guys, we got a special preview today.
Shoot. All right. Spontaneous taster right here.
I know Luis came up with Cowboy and Bull because his partner's name was Cowboy and his name was Bull. Bulldozer, Bull.
Yeah.
So together they were Cowboy and Bull.
Yeah.
I don't know about Paz and I, but we're trying to think of something. We're thinking of like maybe Smoke Brothers, you know.
Nice. I like that.
I don't know. But then we're also just thinking of simple stuff like just, you know, a single flower or a single rose, you know.
Sure.
Kind of, I don't know, it's still up in the air.
It's one of those things that'll come. I mean, it's one, like, Ripe of Wisdom took like a month to come up with.
Probably
the podcast.
Longer. It took
2 months.
It took a year.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even us who came up with it.
That's exactly right. So I reached out to my buddy who helped us think of that. And he's given me some ideas. He's floated some ideas. And they're all great. But I'm still looking for the one that I think will just resonate.
Yeah.
You know, and I think
I think that's it. It needs to resonate, right? Where you're just like, huh, yeah, I think that fits the vibe.
I feel like for us, it's bucket.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. I think that's great. You know, and it just rings, you know, it flows off the tongue. You know, when you look at it off of first impression, bucket. Yeah. Even just saying it out loud, you're like, is that what I think it is? Like,
that's what makes it so fun. See, I love that.
See, so bucket would be proud
that
of this.
That eyebrow raise made me happy right there.
We look for the eyebrow raises.
Exactly. If you didn't do that, I would have been disappointed.
Bucket would be proud of this right here, because this is the unreleased 2023 Pinot Noir Rosé.
See, this is
that Paz and I created.
Exactly. Cheers to that, man.
I hope you guys enjoy this. Let me know what you think. Be brutally honest. You're not going to hurt anybody's feelings.
Honestly, I love it.
Oh, well. As many say, tastes like berries.
Okay, check.
Check.
I think I won. Well, there's one more check.
You know, it's one of those things where I think I always go back to the summer drinker, because I think in some sense, like, this is a kind of wine where if it's really hot, need something to quench you down, this feels like a good wine. The fact that to me, and, you know, this could take this either way, but the flavor profile is not exactly, like, wild, which I can appreciate, because sometimes you just need to drink like something that just feels good to drink without a whole lot happening. And so at the same time, you know, one could argue that, you know, is there a lot of berry action? Hard to say, you know, but I really enjoy it for what it is.
You know what? I got to agree with you, Miguel, solely for the fact of how we made the wine was we barrel fermented it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's barrel aging.
Yeah.
So I think some of the barrel got some of those aromatics.
Yeah.
And it got some of those flavors that you don't necessarily find in rosés. And that's why you see them more aromatic,
because
they're made in stainless steel.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say it is pretty aromatic. Like the flavor, like you can smell it. And like when it hits your tongue, you're like, oh shit. Like
you feel it. Like I said, this isn't we haven't even filtered this yet. This is this is at 3 NTUs. It's pretty good. We just want to filter it because we want to feel, you know, like we want to sleep at night knowing it's biologically stable and
nothing
will happen in the bottle.
Yeah, I can taste a tiny bit of that oak too that's in here.
I feel excited pouring this for people and opening this for people and showing them what we created. And
I would break this out like at a summer party. Like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, I have my white wines, I have my rosés. This is going to be one of them. It's out there.
We're thinking of having like a backyard barbecue release party.
Oh, yeah. Taking some notes
like from Bucket.
Exactly. Taking notes from Bucket, you know? I mean,
I would love to attend.
Paz is going to have like a live band come out and play. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, make an experience.
If you need somebody to DJ, I can DJ too.
We're going
to
keep that option open because you never know. It's just the first of events that we're thinking of planning, you know, so we can always use different type of bands, DJs, and we just want to be recruiting people out there, like from, you know, all your friends, you know, and then all my friends, all Paz's friends, all the bands following.
I fucked with that heavy. That's
and so
like,
I think, you know, I love the common point will be the wine, a glass of wine.
Good local people for a good local time.
Because I was going to say, you guys, if Paz has a band and if you guys did want to DJ for something later, I could DJ. And also my coworker, he DJs, David.
Yeah, David is.
Yeah.
Right now, we'll probably only be able to pay you in alcohol and food. But
yeah.
Any starving artists out there, we got y'all.
Yeah. That's how it be. But, you know, local community first, you know, it's just trying
We're really trying to like dial in our expenses and think of create a business plan this year. We're already thinking about getting tools for the vineyard, backpack sprayer, lawnmower,
nice,
weed whackers.
Yeah, it takes a lot, right?
We're out there.
I was going to ask you, Miguel, because I was going to be like, we should make something for Bucket this year too.
I think we definitely are going to. You're going to see a mention of that later down the line for season two here of a second batch of Bucket. You know I'm going to be there. I'm going all in when I do my marketing.
Oh, I got some carboys.
It's also very local, you know. Mm. I only sell to those local, and if you know me, then you can buy, and if you don't, then you got to find out and try. Like
I think we should make another mead, dude.
I think mead part two is going to be where it's at. You know, everyone really enjoyed the golden age, and everyone wants a second golden age. They just want to keep the golden age continuing, you know.
I think that's what I'm realizing as I get into this is, okay, guys, no bullshit, but if I were to bottle this and you guys were to have this, you guys would expect this year after year, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So then how can you let your customers down by not making a second mead, Miguel?
That's true, yeah. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think that's what I'm realizing. It's like, if I make a rosé, this first rosé, I'm going to have to make a rosé forever.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to like wanting to do it.
Exactly. So I would hate for my customers to be like, oh, well, I'm waiting for your rosé for next year or that next one, and then when next year comes and you don't have one, what happened?
Yeah, especially like if it's a hit. It's one of those things where like the last, you know, I made a few different batches, and I think the golden age with the help of Bryce really made it just, I was such a cool experience and product. And now it's like everyone enjoyed it so much that they're already like, you have any more golden age? I'm like, well, I sold everything out.
Dude, it was funny, man. Talk about small communities out here. Paz, when buying a pair of pruners, met some guy who's like, hey, my buddy's selling some winemaking equipment. So we're like, we followed up on it. Come to find out, buddy had like a destemmer, 12 carboys, a little manual pump, kind of the whole shebang, a corker.
He had like all the tools for making all wine. The tools, not just the one item.
And you know, a bunch of like, you know, like those stoppers on top, vials for like sample bottles. But in the midst of all that, he also gave us a pallet jack, which was, I think, was cool.
That's freaking awesome. Shit. And that's so, something that, like, even though I don't work in the wine industry, dude, I still work with a pallet jack. That shit don't leave.
Moving a barrel is so hard if you don't have a pallet jack.
Moving racks without a pallet jack or a forklift.
Exactly. So I'm like extremely grateful we got that. We got a destemmer, and we got 12 5-gallon carboys.
Oh,
so if you guys need a carboy for anything,
hell yeah,
we got you all covered.
Actually, I think I'm gonna be trying to make soy sauce too. Well, so I might need some more carboys.
Let me know, because I just want to see them used.
Yeah,
they're all in my garage, so I got like, I only use two right now. So in total, we have about 66 gallons of this rosé.
Yeah.
And so I used two carboys. Oh, and we also got an argon tank.
Oh, shit.
With the regulator and a nozzle. So, like, that alone is a few $100. So
homie
like,
had it all, huh?
Dude, homie had it all.
That's crazy.
You know, he was talking to us about how much great memories he had with his buddies, picking fruit, making the wine, processing the wine. And I was just like, you know what, man? Your equipment's going to be used to create more memories. So don't worry about, you know, like, they not being used or whatever. And I think that's what he was more appreciative about. And
sure.
He gave us a hell of a deal.
Yeah. And I was going to say,
a hell of a deal.
I think that's what someone expects when they.
I'm talking about like 25% market value. Like, he gave us a hell of a deal. So
that's freaking awesome. Yeah. Gotta, it's that extra touch, you know, if you make it personal.
So. Gotta love Sonoma County for that one, too.
Yeah.
Oh, back to that question. One of my favorite bottles throughout the.
Oh, yeah. What is your favorite bottle?
Well, just, you know, real quick, was definitely, gosh, it's been on my mind, is that Mary Edwards Sauv Blanc.
Oh,
yeah.
You guys remember that one? I think we had it with Eric.
Yeah. That was a good one.
That one's been on my mind.
Like, I'm still thinking about it.
Thinking about that one. I need to go back and get a couple bottles.
Like the last one that we tried that was.
With Gregory?
It was Gregory. We had, I brought that white Alsace. I think it was a Gewürztraminer.
Uh-huh.
Or Pinot, the Pinot Grigio, excuse me. And then I also brought the Lambrusco.
The Lambrusco, that's the one I'm thinking about. That one was awesome. I just remember, I didn't even remember what it was at this point. Yeah. It's been 2-3 months, but I just remember it being like, that last episode, there was a good one. That for whatever reason, my palate was like, this is new, this is cool, I like this. Yeah, the Lambrusco, that one was great.
Well, like, for more quick hitters, I was going to ask you guys, have you guys been watching anything?
I'd say the most recent thing I watched was the Super Bowl.
I know. Don't remind me of
I know all of California's feeling it.
It was one of, well, for me, it was one of those things where it was one of my first Super Bowls that I actually, like, was, one, tuned into, and two, watched, like, the entire thing through.
And so it was a very fun first sort of Super Bowl that I kind of like, that was really invested in. Not even the sense like I wanted the Lions to be there, but I was very happy with the way both teams were playing and the way that like it was a very exciting match like through and through, because it was just like, oh, who's going to win? Seems like they're winning. Now they're winning. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a slow game. It was one of those games where I'm like, anything can happen at any moment.
Yeah.
Maybe like the first half was a little slow, but come second half, like there's wild shit going on. So.
As a Niners fan, I could say that was a stressful game. Yeah. So,
yeah. I'm a little removed.
Yeah. I wasn't too personally attached to it. So, you know, I know true fans were probably on the edge of their seat the entire second half. Overtime. Yeah, I heard it was like the seventh longest game in history.
I think it's the second game to ever go to overtime.
That was a solid watch.
Yeah. I don't know. And I think for me, I started watching this one show, Succession.
Succession. Yeah. It sounds familiar. I think I have been watching that one.
So. Yeah, it's like about a family that owns like a media conglomerate, and they're super rich as hell, and it's basically about the kids trying to like take over for their dad, and their dad trying to figure out who he wants to be next in line.
I just watched Griselda. Still waiting on season 3 of Bear. Just been focused on this vineyard. Now yeah. I'm just like, nice. I'm like, I'm excited, dude. Now I'm like, shit, I just, every time I get off work now, it's just like, oh, we're going to go stop by and check out the vineyard, you know, and go check, see how it's doing.
Got to go check up on it.
Go check on it. Maybe go to go tie some stuff down.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
It's pretty great, man. No, like I said, if you guys want to come out, hop out anytime. We'll probably be there most weekends. If you guys want to spend the afternoon, we'll feed y'all, have some alcohol.
Right on. Beer. That's the payment. Because
you can't get like too caught up thinking it's hard work. Like you got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So if you need a beer, if you need a break,
yeah,
hey man, take it.
Yeah. Is that the end of the day, right? Yeah, because that's the kind of vibe you want to be putting in, like good times and exactly. Good winemaking.
Like we're here, like I'm not here to tell you keep working. Like we only got 4 hours here. Like, whoops. So, hey, if we don't finish that roll, then we'll come back another day and finish that roll.
Yeah.
So hopefully, good luck to us in this upcoming year. Our future guests, all the wine we drink, hopefully they're not corked.
That's right. No corks, please.
And yeah, we'll see what this year has in store for us.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Be like, it was nice getting back together and starting a new year. We're excited about it. It's been a great episode. Thank you guys for listening. And follow us on at Ripe of Wisdom on Instagram. And we'll come back with more episodes.
Updates more, on the vineyard.
And more wine.
Updates
and
on our seeds.
On our right. Six plants. Yeah, grow your six plants. And yeah, it's been nice.
It's been nice. And we'll see y'all I'll see y'all in a couple of weeks.